And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good evening and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert for Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. I'm Dave Slade here with co-host Mark Bartholomew. I'm the Cradle Catholic and Mark is the Convert. Hey, Mark, very briefly, you mentioned last week as we were going off the air that we were going on a field trip.
Yeah, thank goodness we didn't get that canceled out.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Well, we took our beautiful other halves with us and we traveled up to Skokie, Illinois and went to the Illinois Holocaust Museum where we were very graciously met by our former guest from last August, I think it was, Magda Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did we have a sit down with her for about an hour, hour and a half, but then we got a guided tour through the facility given by her.
Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? To have a survivor take you through the museum.
Got to tell you, listeners, if you're looking for a day field trip with your children for education and for recreation, you need to make a plan to go up to see that Illinois Holocaust Museum in Skokie, Illinois.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that struck me the most, Mark, as we were walking through, one of the displays, they have a lot of television displays
right.
And things, was playing that World War II air raid siren.
Yes.
And about every minute or so, that thing would go off, and it was just eerie.
Yes.
It was just eerie. We walked through the boxcar.
Yes.
That was actually used to transport.
Yes.
The Jews to Auschwitz, and it was an amazing thing.
It really was.
And Magda's a blessing,
and
I hope our listeners will pray for her.
Yeah.
She's in great health and travels the world.
And what a terrific, terrific courage she has to be able to have endured all that and then be able to talk about it as freely as she can now.
Yeah. And we had a prayer answered while we were there.
We did?
Yeah, I remember we went to lunch and my wife left her purse in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
We got all the way to the museum, and she didn't have her purse. And then we're in Skokie, Illinois, which is a pretty big city.
Yeah.
We go back, and there were two gentlemen sitting at the table. Their coat was over the chair, and her purse was under the coat. So
it was amazing.
Yeah, St. Anthony was pretty busy on
that ride back to the museum.
Okay, in the studio with us tonight's our good friend and returning guest, Donna Dossman. Donna served as the director of the Office for Marriage and Family for the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, from the mid-90s until 2007. She recently served on the USCCB Committee on Marriage, Family Life, Laity, and the Youth. As such, and because of the related work, she has an understanding and deep appreciation for the Church's teaches on marriage, family, and sexuality, which is the basis for family ministry. So welcome back, Donna. With that pedigree, we know that you know what you're talking about as we talk about the moral virtue of chastity, which is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. It's a joy to be here. Thanks, Dave.
It's great to have a platform like this locally where we can talk about local issues. And, you know, chastity is something that we're all called to. It's a vocation. In the Catechism, section 2300, there's a whole lot in there that we should be reading about chastity. But Donna, why don't you give us what you've been talking about throughout the diocese and kind of lead us through this.
Okay, Dave. For me, one of the key things is to get across what the Church says in her very own words, because I think that's part of what we don't hear is the wonder and the beauty of this gift of sexuality. So in 1990, the U.S. bishops wrote a document on sexuality, and in typical bishop fashion, they called it Human Sexuality, a Catholic Perspective for Education and Lifelong Learning. Now, doesn't that make you want to run right out and grab that?
Yeah, okay. Sounds like a bestseller.
Let's take a deep breath time now.
They didn't do a very good job in naming the document, but they did a great job of naming the first chapter. They called it Human Sexuality, Wonderful Gift, Awesome Responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so as we speak about that today, I want to use the bishop's own words. They said, "We want to make clear that we believe human sexuality is a gift. We approach this topic with a deep and abiding sense of appreciation, wonder, and respect. We're dealing with a divine gift, a primary dimension of each person, a mysterious blend of spirit and body, which shares in God's own creative love and life." And that's kind of what we want to unwrap a little bit today to talk about what that actually means. Where do we get this teaching on sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
We get it in Scripture. If St. John Paul were here, he would say, in the beginning, God created us in his image, in the divine image he created us, male and female he created us, and then he blessed them and said, be fertile and multiply and fill the earth. And guys, that's really it. It's the way we're made it's not what some celibate guy wearing a white robe in Rome says. It's the way God made us in his image as man and woman, made our bodies, and made our bodies to express that love to each other in the most intimate way possible, and through that love, bring new life into the world. And that's the crux of it, that those two pieces are always tied together. And in tying those pieces together, then we can look at married love. And I think that's a really good place for us to start before we get into any of the other issues.
Okay.
What does the church say about married love in her own words? St. John Paul again, along with Blessed Pope Paul VI. We got a lot of popes saying these things here. Says that married love is fully human, total, faithful and exclusive, and creative of new life. Just listen to these words. This love is above all fully human, a compound of sense and spirit. Love is not then merely a question of natural instinct or emotional drive, so it's not a feeling, but it is, above all, an act of free will, whose dynamism ensures that not only does it endure the joys and sorrows of daily life, but listen to this, but that as that love grows, so the husband and wife become one heart and one soul, and together attain their human fulfillment. Is that not beautiful?
It is beautiful,
yes.
And we're supposed to be each other's helpers to get us to heaven. And as we become one and understand one another more, relatively speaking, we'll understand each other more fully. We can help each other help our spouses on the way through living a chaste life.
Well, Donna, the thing about Pope John Paul II was that he actually addressed the students at Warsaw, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. about sexuality. Mm-hmm. And they loved his classes because he really got their attention and made them think about it.
So exactly.
He has a deep-rooted foundation.
Yes, yeah. And good places to find that way, of course, is the Theology of the Body, but it's some 2,000 pages long, so maybe you don't want to start there. He has a book called Love and Responsibility that was written at that time when he was in Warsaw. And then a very simple one is simply the document On the Family that really came out in the 80s, but mm-hmm. it's kind of succinctly says what the Theology of the Body says, and it's just very beautifully written. So if we take those words and we apply them to life, Dave, you got it. We're on our way to heaven, and it's our job to get our spouse there. We'd like to say it's our job to get our kids there, and we can do our very best, but as they become adults, they're going to make their own choices. But for us as husband and wives, that's our key job, is to get each other to heaven. And therefore, a successful marriage isn't a gift. It's an achievement. It's probably the hardest job we're ever going to have, but it's one of the most rewarding, and it takes working on every single day. And I think that's something we don't think about. You know, we just take our marriages for granted, but having just passed Valentine's Day, you know, maybe we can work a little harder on that. So let's go on here. Married love is total. What does that mean? It's a very special form of personal friendship, says the documents of the church, in which husband and wife generally share everything, allowing no unreasonable exceptions or thinking just of their own interest. How's about that for taking what the world is like today and turning it on its head?
Really?
Whoever really loves his partner loves not only what he receives, but loves that partner for his or own sake, content to enrich the other with the gift of self. So really, that total gift of self is what mm-hmm. we're talking about. We talk about it in a sexual sense, but in a full sense. So marriage isn't a 50-50 deal. It's 100%, 100% contract. And the more I give of myself, the more I get in return. You guys know us. Harold and I couldn't be more different personality-wise. He's got the engineer brain. He's the logical person and man of few words. That is not me, okay? But the more we share of our lives and of the jobs that we have, the better we can be. Oftentimes, I think we go off to work and sometimes we're not feeling really good about what's happening there. But if you can come home and you've got that total support behind you, it gives you the strength to go out the very next day and keep doing what you're doing so that you're building that marriage together.
You know, I got to say something here, Donna. The way this is stated, it, I think, is very meaningful because I think lots of times people think of marriage and the intimacy involved with marriage as being physical. Mm-hmm. But by saying giving self, the self to each other, it's the total package. It's not just the physical part. Mm-hmm. And I think our culture, unfortunately, has focus so much on the physical part and the media and the entertainment industry and everywhere else that people tend to zoom in on that instead of looking at it as a gift of heart, of soul, of body.
Well, you know, Mark, I think you hit it right on the head, too. The Catholic Church and its teachings on chastity is so counter-cultural.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Outer-worldly. You know, it's not part of the world. It's part of the church. It's what God wants, and we have perverted it
yes.
to the point where chastity is just almost wrong, you know, if you look around in the culture today.
Right.
You know, I think about, you remember Sonny and Cher?
Oh, yeah.
They had a little girl, and they named her Chastity. Yep. You know, that little girl today is a boy named Chaz.
Yeah.
Talk about a perversion of chastity. That's just so sad.
Yeah, I know.
And it is very countercultural.
Yes.
Countercultural.
It certainly is. And what we're talking about intimacy, as you said, Mark, is that total gift of self. And even when it gets to that physical part, it's not about me.
Right.
It's about giving to the other. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go off the path here and say, a lot of years ago when I first learned natural family planning, I went to this conference sponsored by the church, and there was this marriage counselor, and he said, holy people have good sex lives. And I was like,
how dare he?
But then I realized what he was saying, obviously he explained it too, that if this is God ordained,
right.
then that love that is the gift of self makes it something special. And we always say when we're doing marriage prep, you guys look gorgeous today. But this gift of self that's a physical thing is supposed to be there for when you don't look quite as gorgeous 20, 30, or 40 years down the road, you know, because it is more about giving than it is about receiving. And it has to be in all aspects, not just the physical. So what is intimacy? I love this. Somebody took the word apart and said intimacy is into me see.
Huh.
So
wow.
Go beyond that mask that we wear everywhere else in the world. And look at who I really am and love me for who I really am. So I can take off that mask. Face it, you're different in the radio station than you were in the police station, than you are when you're in the grocery store. We all have a different face.
We try to be.
Yeah. Sometimes,
that's why we record and edit later. Sometimes I'm not a lot different than I was.
But if you see that, I mean, we all do have those masks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the person that you're going to spend your life with has to be the person who can see beyond that. And into seeing who you really are. Actually, intimacy comes from the Greek meaning no fear, so I can be who I really am
with my spouse. I did not know that etymology.
Hmm. Yeah, so I can be who I really am with my spouse, and I'm going to be loved. And that's difficult in our world today with the way marriages are throwaway and cohabitation is throwaway. Marriage, in the eyes of the church, is that lifelong relationship where I'm going to be free to be me, and love for being me, but I'm going to give you that same kind of total love. So it's a real different vision than what we're talking about. Obviously, then, that married love has to be faithful and exclusive of all others until death. And this is how husband and wife should understand it. On the day they freely vowed themselves to one another. I'm sure at some point you've already done or may do something on the whole annulment process. And that's the key. It's that free will. It's that understanding what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
What, did any of us understand that? No, we probably didn't really totally. But
yeah, at 19, 20, 20 years old. You know,
yeah, you really don't understand
no.
that. But what is that? It's the free will, and it's knowing that I'm going to be faithful.
Right.
And that faithfulness for us as Catholic takes on a whole lot more than just the physical fidelity. Usually I liken it to what you said on your wedding day. You know, you said, I will love and honor you. Okay. Well, in the grand scheme of things today, if the smartphone goes off and you're talking to your spouse, who do you honor?
Mm-hmm.
The smartphone?
Yeah, exactly.
And whoever's on that other end? Or the person you said you would totally give yourself to? That's a real challenge for us during Lent, to kind of put the phone aside.
It's a great way to fast, folks.
It is, yeah.
Fast from your electronic devices.
Exactly. Yeah.
Except the radio.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm going to keep the radio
That's not a device. It's a necessity.
That's right. 88.9, 96.5 WDCR. Hey, at this moment in time, let's take a quick break here. And on the other side, we'll continue with Donna Dossman here on The Cradle and the Convert.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
All right, we're back here on The Cradle and the Convert with our guest, Donna Dossman.
So to continue on what the Church says on married love, it says that married love is faithful and exclusive of all others, and this until death. This is how a husband and wife understand it on the day on which they freely vowed themselves one to another. Well, we hope they do, but I think you probably have done some stuff on annulments, and we know that that's that free will and free gift of self that
yeah,
we know.
Consent.
But
yes.
Are we actually, do we really know that when we say that, when we're getting married? Probably not. We don't really totally understand what it means. But hopefully as time goes by, we do understand that. But taking that concept of faithful a little bit farther, and particularly in the season of Lent particularly, I like to take it back to what we said on our wedding day, that we said we would love and honor that person that we're marrying. And I often think of, as we're all sitting around and talking to the one that we love and honoring them, and then our smartphone goes off, who gets the honor?
Yeah.
I think you were thinking that maybe a good thing to...
Yeah, I think it's a great way to fast, you know, is to fast from your electronic device.
From your technology a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Fast when you're home. And if you can't exclusively do that, then at least fast from an immediate response.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. We used to be able to do that with telephones, so maybe we could actually start doing it with our smartphones. I'm not sure if we could or not.
That'd be neat.
If we're going to talk about the concept of chastity in marriage, let's talk a little bit about what chastity is. According to the Catechism, what chastity means is that we're integrating our sexuality into who we are as a person, into whatever state of life we're in, whatever vocation that we're in, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're celibate. So our bishops have said, and I love this phrase, chastity should be understood as the purity and stewardship of the precious and rich gift of love. Isn't that cool? I like
yes.
the stewardship part.
Yes, I do too. It's a almost a caregiver, or not a caregiver, a guardian type of relationship with stewardship, yeah.
It is, yeah. So if we look at marriage in those terms, then what are the building blocks of a successful marriage? If you asked any marriage counselor 25 years ago, they would have told you that they were love and communication. Those were the key issues. If you look at the stats now, and they're not our church's stats, they're the secular stats, they're going to tell you love, communication, and sacrifice are what makes a really good marriage.
Well, that needs to be said, I think.
It does, yeah. So again, it goes with that gift of self, but isn't that an interesting thing for the season of Lent?
Mm-hmm.
That love is about sacrifice. It's about doing for the other. It's about backing away from my needs and looking to the other's needs. I think as parents, we do that all the time. And because we do that all the time as parents, we don't do it as much with our spouses. You know,
kind of the unconditional love part of
it's just kind of taken for granted kind of thing. So maybe that's a thing for Lent, is to focus a bit more on how we sacrifice for the other.
Well, our culture itself is so hedonistic that means what's in it for me.
Exactly.
You know, this is about me. You know, I want to do what makes me feel good, and everybody else is in for themselves, you know.
Exactly right. So, I mean, you can start with simple things like how often do – I've remembered to do it now having done this for a while – just say – hey, Harold, thanks for taking out the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just simple little things like that. Thanks for making dinner.
Yep.
Whatever the things are that we take for granted. But you know that whoever we are, that builds us up. So maybe that's one of the things we can add during Lent, is to say good and positive things to each other. That simple little, the same courtesy that we give the checker at the grocery store to give to that person that we love would be a really good thing.
Well, I heard the other day on one of the shows that a priest was talking about the physical intimacy is very important to men, but on the other side of that coin, the personal intimacy, the communication and that type of thing is on an equal basis with women. And maybe if we understood that a little better, we'd be more apt to compliment and say nice things instead of take for granted.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really a good point. That's probably another whole show on communication between men and women. And seriously, because we're so different. And it stems from that verse in Genesis where Adam and Eve is taken out of Adam. Well, it's not just her physical sense. You know, we're very, very different as man and woman, so our needs are different. Mm-hmm. And it takes a good while to get to understand those other person's needs and how that works because we are so very different. So, yeah, that holding, touching, positive affirmation is much more important to us. Than
yes,
it is
absolutely.
To,
and our needs continually change throughout our lives.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
We need more from each other as we get older. We need each other to lean on, and to understand that is really important.
Absolutely.
It's God's plan again, isn't it?
It
is.
As
the kids grow and move out, then we need more from each other to support. And it's just the way his whole plan was from the beginning, as we said. Good old St. John Paul.
Well, you know, the catechism also says that chastity means the integration of sexuality within the person. It includes an apprenticeship in self-mastery, which means we have to learn how to put
ourselves
a little bit, down the line and put our others first and master our own selves.
Yeah, you don't just snap your fingers and have self-mastery.
That's
a practice skill.
Yeah. Very few of us have it, probably.
And that's something that when we look at what the church teaches in the whole area of sexuality and how you live that out in marriage and how you live that out as a single person, that's where that self-mastery comes in. Because we're not, I love this line, it's from John and Lynn Billings, who were one of the developers of natural family planning. They said, we're not the masters of love and life, but the ministers of love and life.
Oh.
And understanding how that fits into our daily life. And then in his document on the family, St. John Paul says, chastity is the spiritual energy capable of defending love from the perils of selfishness and aggressiveness.
Wow.
Able to advance it to its full realization. Wow.
That's profound.
Wow. In this world, with everything that's hitting us.
And it's so countercultural again.
It's totally countercultural. Yeah.
It's just that's breathtaking. If you think about it,
it is
the responsibility.
Really is.
I don't think people place that much responsibility on sexuality. I mean, it's our culture is, hey, do what makes you feel good. And I think the fact that the stewardship we talked about a moment ago, there's a lot of responsibility involved in that. That I think a lot of people get themselves in lifelong jams because they don't. See the responsible side of that.
Well, and without that responsibility, we become the pagans that crashed the Roman Empire.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
When it was all about themselves.
Right.
And our society has turned that way.
Exactly.
We have become too much about ourselves, and that's why we're in the mess we're in.
Exactly.
Exactly. And when you figure the chastity piece, you see that from little on up, that is being pounded, the opposite message is being pounded from the media all the time. So that by the time you reach your teen years or young adulthood, it's just the opposite message is just part of who you are. So how do you flip that around unless you understand chastity from the beginning? And I don't know that all parents get how important it is to talk about purity and chastity as much as we need to, just because that other message is so strong out there. We want to talk about the other piece to this. So we've got who we are as this gift of self totally to the other, and that connects to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that's another key to this, that married love is not just exhausted, says the documents of the church, by the love between husband and wife, but it also goes beyond that to bring new life into the world. And I think one of the key lines on that comes from Paul VI in his statement that says, by its intimate structure, that conjugal act, while most closely uniting the couple, makes them capable to bring about new life according to the laws inscribed in the very being of man and woman. So that's the way we're made.
We're made that way.
And that's what chastity calls us to live out. Looks like we're going to be talking about this more.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, Donna, we want to have you back. We only have a half hour show and we're just about out of time for today. And there's so much to cover. And we're also going to have you come on and talk about pornographic problems that, I mean, even you watch a commercial on TV and it's something else. So we will hope you'll come back and join us maybe next month. And we certainly appreciate your time and expertise today on the subject.
Absolutely. It's fascinating.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much for being here.
I feel like we just barely scraped the
dirt
off the top of the grave here.
We did. We had a long way to go here.
Hey, I completed my 33-day consecration to Mary today.
Oh, well, and, good for you. You said you had a plan for your birthday. And, folks, it is Uncle Dave's birthday today. And if he wants to tell you how old he is, that's okay. But I'm so much younger than him, I don't want to
It's the 20th anniversary of my 40th birthday. Yeah. Could we close with a memorare in honor of the consecration?
Why don't we?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, that's it for this week, folks. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope you have a very fruitful Lent, and we'll see you again next week.
Night, y'all.
Night.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.